Thank you very much. The Shusha is that Noizar Dosai. Now the Rambam's entire Mishnah Torah has been recognized since first disseminated as really a unique, unprecedented, and subsequently unequal tour de force. But within that, Hilchos Tshuva occupies a very special place. All the other areas in Halacha, so the Rambam with tremendous erudition and originality, so he wrote Hilchos Shabbos, he wrote Hilchos Niskei Mamon, but if you look in Shas, there's clearly a discipline of Hilchos Shabbos, there's clearly a discipline of Hilchos Niskei Mamon. When you look in Shas, there's a little bit of agadat over here, a maimer over here. There is no Hilchos Tshuva in Shas. The Rambam created the field. He didn't just systematize it. He didn't just, with great erudition and originality, contribute to it. But he really made the field. If you take a look at the Ramban, during the Ramban's lifetime, so there was the whole dispute raged over the Rambam's known as Uchim and Sefer Hamada. And the Ramban wrote in defense of the Rambam, he wrote to the Chachmei Tzofas. So the whole letter is a fascinating letter. But the part that pertains to us now, he says, and from Sefer Madi, he says, what do you want from Sefer, from the Rambam Sefer Madi? It's a beautiful thing. And especially look at Hilchos Tshuva, he says, until the Rambam came around, he says, there was no such thing as Hilchos Tshuva. No one had been able to piece together a Hilchos Tshuva from the Ma'amori Chazal, and it's one within the Rambam's overall lifetime work. It certainly stands out as something very, very special. So let's take a look, as we'll spend a few minutes, and as we have time, to try to derive some instruction, guidance, and maybe even inspiration from the words of the Rambam. So let's begin in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis. Umahiya Tshuva. What exactly is Tshuva? What are the components? If we're going to analyze it and break it down into its constituent components, so what exactly is the Tshuva? Hu Shiyanzov Hachote Cheto. The sinner should abandon his sin. V'yisirenu mimachshavto. And he should remove it from his thoughts. And he should resolve that he's not going to regress, that he's not going to repeat the sin. Shenema yazov rosha darko, the ish oven machshavosav. V'chein, says the Rambam, yisnachem al she'ovah. He should also have a sense of regret, of remorse about the past. Shenema ki achere shuvi nechamti v'achere hivadi safakti al yarech. Okay, that's perhaps a couple of comments here. So first of all, what's perhaps a little bit new to us, that when we summarize the elements, the different components of tshuva, we don't necessarily zero in on this, is the Rambam's yisirenu mimachshavto. Again, clearly, the Rambam thinks reflected in the pasuk of ish avad machshavosav. What does it mean, yisirenu mimachshavto? So the chora as follows. Let's say you have someone, he's addicted to smoking, whatever the case may be, and his doctor calls him in and tells him, you know, this is really a very, very unhealthy habit. It's a dangerous habit, and it can do lung damage, and reads them the Riot Act. And he tells the patient, you know, he tells his patient, you really need to quit. And so the patient responds, you know what, I'm really addicted, but I'm going to try. Since you're telling me, I'm really going to try, I'm going to give it my best shot. So that's one patient. Then the doctor sees another patient, again with the same smoking addiction, and reads in the same Riot Act. But this patient's reaction is, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I realize that I have to do it. I realize from what you're telling me that there's no alternative, that there's no other way to proceed. I have to do it. The second reaction is what you see Rav Machshavto means. What the Rambam says is that the resolve to leave a chait is that a chait has to be unthinkable. Not that the resolve is, well, I'm going to do my best, I'm not going to do it. But the tshuva process, Yazav Rosh Hadaka Vishavan Machshavosav, means that it has to be unthinkable. Not just that there's a sense of resolve that I'm going to do my best. No, we know that if l'chatchila we go into it with such a mindset, so then we're not gonna bat a thousand. But if something is actually unthinkable, it's much more likely to succeed and generate results. Now, if you turn the page just to Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph for a moment, so in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says that there is a chiyuv vidui, there is a chiyuv to articulate the tshuva process. And the Rambam says around 8 lines into the halacha, Ketzer mizvado omer Hashem chotasi avisi prashati lufanach asisi kach v'kach v'harei nichamti yuboshi b'masai ula'olam eini choza v'dobo ze. So the la'olam eini choza v'dobo ze, right, clearly parallels the yigmo b'libo shalo yaseh, the yisnachem the Nichamti parallels the Yisnachem al Sha'ova, but the Rambam here in the Vidui introduces an element which is not paralleled in Perek Vayis, and that's the Boshti. The question is why the Rambam has the Boshti here in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, which you don't find in Perek Vayis Halacha Vayis. Again, where the Rambam in Perek Aleph got it from, so that's no mystery. He got it from the Psukim that we say as part of our Slichos. Elokai, Boshti, V'nechlamti, Lahorim, Panai, Elecha, Psukim in Ezra, Nechemia, Psukim in Yirmia, that we say is part of our Slichos. So we know where the Rambam got the Boshti from. But why doesn't the Rambam say that Umahi Atshuva, V'chein Yisnachem, V'yizbayesh, Al Sha'avar, and then he could cite the appropriate proof text? So he mentions the busha here in the vidui. He doesn't mention it in the tshuva. And again, it's what makes the question pointed is that basically the vidui is simply an articulation of what the tshuva is. So how is it that you have the boshas mentioned in the vidui when the Rambam doesn't describe it as one of the elements of the tshuva? So let's reflect for a moment, leaving this question aside for a moment, let's just try to understand why the sense of boshes is so indispensable to tshuva. Again, the Rambam says, if you take a look after he gives this formulation, the Rambam says, Zehu Ikaro Shel Vidui. This is the quintessential vidui. And if a person will amplify, if a person will elaborate it, so that's even better. So what's included in the Rambam's formulation, again, is what's absolutely indispensable. So there's something very, very central and pivotal about boshes. Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, so the first part of Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah lists the different Ikari Tshuva, the different fundamental aspects and components of Tshuva. One of those that he lists is Boshes. He says one of the Ikari HaTshuva, one of the fundamental, elements, is that there has to be a sense of Boshes. Why does there have to be a sense of Boshes? So Rabbeinu Yonah explains as follows. Again, just with a little bit of a word of introduction to what Rabbeinu Yonah says. The feeling, the experience the emotion of shame is one which is created by having other people experience, witness our vulnerability, our inadequacy. So if I'm walking into a room and my shoelaces are untied and I trip over my own feet, so if there's no one in the room, so I don't feel embarrassed. I may be bruised, but I don't feel embarrassed. If there were people in the room and they saw my clumsiness, so then my inadequacies were exposed. So then I have a sense of shame, a sense of humiliation. So then Yona says as follows: a person has to have boshes. A person has to be able to say boshti as part of his tshuva, because the common denominator of almost every chait is that whatever a yetzahara we may have, there are different yetzaharas, we have different weaknesses. Virtually, every yetzahara is going to be inhibited if we were aware of the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence. Mashal Amadav Adoma. You have someone, he has a yetzahara to cheat on a test. It's a big test that's going to make or break whether he gets into law school, medical school, his life's dreams. So he has a yetzahara to cheat on a test. Okay, and he has a strong yetzahara. Maybe he doesn't necessarily have the strongest scruples, and he's ready to do it. The only thing is, throughout the entire test, the proctor is staring right at him the whole time. The proctor doesn't take his eyes off this guy for a second. So he's not going to cheat. He may not have necessarily had an epiphany and become a more righteous individual, but the yetzahara is going to be inhibited if he knows that he's going to get caught, if he knows that he's being watched, and if he knows that he's going to get caught. So then that's going to inhibit any yetzahara. So every chait has its own dynamic. Every chait reflects, again, virtually every chait. We're not talking about a tinok shenishba, we're not talking about pure, unmitigated ignorance. Virtually every chait, again, has its own root, but there is a common denominator, and the common denominator is, as Rav Yona writes in Shari Tshuva, that when a person sins, it's Ein Ze Elam Nehayos Hashem Yizvarach Rochot Mikil Yosef. That when a person is chote, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't on the radar screen. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on the radar screen, so then I would react the same way the test taker reacts when the proctor is staring at him. When the proctor stares at you, you don't cheat, no matter how strong the temptation or how weak the scruples are. So the same is true in terms of chait, and you do have this common denominator. That's what Rav Yona says. That's why boshes is such a central aspect and pivotal aspect to tshuva. Okay, so in certain ways that only seems to sharpen the question of why the Rambam doesn't mention it in Perek Beis and only has it here in Perek Aleph in the formulation of the Vidur. So why didn't the Rambam say in Perek Beis Yisnachem v'Yisbayish? So let's try a different mushroom. But let's say you have a teenager recently got his license. Okay, so he asks his parents for the car. They give him the car with the following conditions: that he has to be home by 11 o'clock at night, and he can't have more than one passenger in the car with him. Okay, so what does he do? So it's 11:45 at night, and he's not at home, and the car is full with his friends, and then he totals the car. Okay, Baruch Hashem, he's okay. His friends are okay, but the car is totally wrecked. Okay, he feels terrible, he feels guilty, but when does he feel embarrassed? When's he going to feel embarrassed? He feels embarrassed when the car is wrecked, or when he has to go home, and he has to look his parents in the eye, and he has to tell them, it wasn't 10:45, it was 11:45, and I wasn't alone with one friend in the car, but the car was full of friends, and I broke every rule, every stipulation you made, and that's when it happened. So the embarrassment, the shame, the regret, the remorse, the resolve, all of that will happen even before he gets home, even before he has to look his parents in the eye. But the boshef, so that's going to be triggered by when he has to come home and he has to tell them what happened. So the Rambam apparently was medayek that the sources we have for boshef, again, the Yazav Rosh Hadak of Ish Oven Machshavosav, so that's described in Tshuva. The psukim that we have about boshef are all when Ezra Nechemya, when is speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he's speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then that's the analog, again, when you have to come home, when the teenager has to come home and look his parents in the eye. The Rav Zichrono Livracha famously called attention to, if you take a look in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, for a moment, Abosa, let's just read from the beginning of the Halacha. Here's the phrase that the Rav underscored. What's the phrase "lefnei hakel baruch hu"? So the Rav said that clearly the association which this triggers and which the Rambam intends it to trigger is that lifnei hakel is a description that we associate with tefillah, right? That tefillah is amida lifnei Hashem, is amida lifnei Hamelech. And the Rambam's description, definition of the vidui, of the articulation of the tshuva, is chayav lezvados lifnei hakel baruch hu. So what the Rambam clearly is saying again, the tshuva is from the chayt, and the tshuva is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rambam, I think you don't have this in front of you. I'll just try quickly to read you one line here. The Rambam in Perek Zayin Halacha Zayin, in the famous... I guess you could call it an ode to tshuva, very famous halacha. So the Rambam writes in Perek Zayin Halacha Zayin, Kama Mu'ula Malas HaTshuva. Emesh HaYozem Muvdol Me'Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Shenemar, the pasuk says, that Avonoseichem Hoyu Mavdilim Beinechem Levein Elokeichem. So the pasuk says, the Navi says, that a chait imposes a barrier, it imposes distance. That a chayt alienates a person from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A chayt pushes a person, Rachmanu Litzlan, away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avanoseichem hoyu mavdilin beinechem levein elokeichem. So then what the culmination of the tshuva process is that a person comes lifnei hakel. That's the counterpoint to the Avanoseichem hoyu mavdilin beinechem levein elokeichem, is that in the tshuva process a person comes back lifnei hakel. Chayv lesvadus lifnei hakel baruch hu. So that's what the Rambam says. Avada, the busha, is an integral part of the tshuva. The busha is an integral part of the tshuva precisely because that's the tikkun. That's the that remedies, again, the common denominator to virtually every chayt, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't on the radar screen. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu was on the radar screen, right, we're all familiar with the famous story with the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim is traveling with a Baal HaGolah, with a wagon driver, and the wagon driver pulls over and he wants to purloin some fruits from the field. And he said to the Chafetz Chaim, so you'll tell me if anyone's coming and anyone's watching. So he makes his way over and he's about to take, and the Chafetz Chaim starts yelling, watch out, someone's coming, someone can see you. And the guy looks around, doesn't see anyone. The scene repeats itself again and again. Chafetz Chaim tells him, the Rebbeinu Shalom is watching. That exactly illustrates what the Rebbeinu Yoma in Shari Tshuva is talking about. Again, that this common denominator to virtually every chait is because, Rachmanu Litzlan, when we slip, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not on the radar screen. What reflects the tikkun of that, the corresponding remedial measure to that, is when a person has an enhanced awareness of being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's that which allows a person to say boshti. But the Rambam includes it bedafka in the vidui rather than in the tshuva, because it's in the vidui, again, that's the analog to when the child, full of remorse, looks his parents in the eyes and tells them and owns up to what he did without trying to hide behind any excuses. That's the pshat in the Bilshti. The sequence is also interesting. If you compare Perek Beis Halacha Beis with Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, so the Rambam also has the sequence is depicted differently. In Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, so what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, "Hare nichamti uboshti b'masai ula'olam eini choza b'dova zeh." That first a person articulates his attitude towards the past, his sense of regret and remorse, and then he speaks about the future. Then he looks with an eye towards the future and says, "And when the Rambam describes the actual tshuva, so the Rambam says that first of all, yigmo b'libo shelo yaseihuod, that the resolve about the future comes first, and then the yisnachem al she'ova, the Rambam only has later. So the question is why the Rambam presents it again in two different sequences. Why doesn't he have the same sequence in both halachos? So I think it's on one of these halachos. I think the Avodas HaMelech comments from Menachem Krakowski in his Sefer in the Rambam Hilchos Mada. So he comments. He refers to Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, has a discussion of what comes first. Does a person first have the aziva sachet? Does a person first again leave the chet and change and lo yaseihu od? And then only later does he have the regret and the remorse about the past, or does it happen in the opposite direction? So Rabbeinu Yonah discusses this in Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah suggests that there's a difference between who the chotei is. Again, let's say a moshel amad of a domer. So let's say you have a person who, for whatever reason, so habitually, for an extended period of time, has never really been careful about being koveh ita matara, or has never really been careful, makted on tefillah b'tzivur. And then finally he realizes what life is about, realizes what we're here for, and realizes that whatever else he's been doing, which interferes with kriyas ita matara, which interferes with tefillah b'tzivur, that's not what he was born for. And okay. So gradually he begins being kovei itam, he begins davening more regularly in shul. That's one person, that's one scenario. Another scenario Rabbeinu Yonah says you can have, you have a person his whole life has never missed a tefillah b'tzibur. His whole life he's never missed a learning seder. Then by Yehi Hayom, Eichshehu, he misses tefillah b'tzibur one morning. Vayehi hayom echshehu, he misses a learning seder. So says Rabbeinu Yonah, the person in whom it's really ingrained, so he's in a position to begin with the regret and the remorse right away. Because he doesn't have to change himself, he doesn't have to gradually develop and cultivate. No, his whole life he's been so makbid on tefillah b'tzibur, he's been so makbid on kriyas ita matara. What happened was an aberration, so then there can be, even initially, right away, there can be, and that will be, the initial reaction will be again, this profound sense of regret, remorse, and having failed, because of what happened. So Masha Enkein, the person who's never really been much for tefillah b'tzibur, never really been much for kriyas itim, it's only after he, again, over a period of time, begins to really fully understand and appreciate what it means to daven regularly b'tzibur, what it means to be kavei ikan matara. Only then will he really be able to have a genuine sense of regret and remorse. A person can be inspired to do better, but it's only once the person does better, only when we look back in retrospect, can we really have the profound sense of regret and remorse that it hadn't happened earlier. So that's what Rabbeinu Yonah says in this question. That whether, again, in terms of how the tshuva process unfolds, does the nechama, does the regret and remorse, is that right away, is that the immediate visceral reaction to the chait, or does it come later, depends upon whether or not there was more of a lifestyle change, or no, there was an aberration. The chait represented an aberration. And the Rambam, there doesn't seem to be any, the Rambam doesn't seem to have that distinction. The way the Rambam seems to present it, again, in terms of the tshuva is, that in order, without drawing this distinction, the Rambam says, in order to, again, really, really have that sense of nechama, a person has to put distance between himself and the chayt. And it's only once a person has that distance between himself and the chayt, only then does a person really have perspective on the chayt and can have a sense of the nechama, of regret and remorse. There is a very, very beautiful passage in the Chovas HaLevavos. Rabbeinu Bachya writes in the Chovas HaLevavos like this. He writes that Chasidim have the practice that they do tshuva on their tshuva. Right? Halavai, we should do tshuva on our chatan. So Rabbeinu Bachya writes in Chovas HaLevavos, he says, Chasidim do tshuva on their tshuva. What does that mean? So it means that last year, Elul, so I tried to do tshuva on chatoim A through Z. Okay. So given what I was holding, so I felt a little bit badly. I felt enough that I did some type of tshuva. There was tshuva on some level. If a person's a chassid, so then over the course of the year, it was a year of growth. It was a year of ascent. It was constant aliyah. Now looking back at last year's tshuva, so the chassid thinks to himself, so that superficial sense of regret and remorse which I had, that was an appropriate reaction to chait. That was proper tshuva. Let's say you go into someone's home, and they have this heirloom. I don't know, a vase, whatever it is that's been in the family for generations and generations. Okay, so you're not aware that it's an heirloom. You're not aware that it's so valuable, either monetarily or emotionally to them. And you break the vase. Okay, so you say, I'm sorry, and please forgive me, and I messed up. Okay, so that's a tshuva. Then, as time passes, you find out, the vase, it wasn't a $20 vase, it was a more expensive vase, and they really liked the vase. So then you go back the next year, and then, again, you have a sense of remorse, not only over the chait, but Rabbeinu Bachya writes in Chovas HaLevavos, you now have a sense of remorse, a sense of regret of doing tshuva over the superficiality of last year's tshuva. And again, if another year passes and now I find out, why it was so valuable. It's a family heirloom from 20 generations and it was priceless and irreplaceable. So then even the second round of tshuva, I now realize what was really superficial. What the Chovas HaLevavos illustrates, again, is that one needs, the more distance one has from the chait, so then the more genuine and the deeper the regret and remorse will be. And that by definition, if I haven't put that much distance, there hasn't been that much growth between where I was when I was chote rachman l'tzlan and where I am now, so then the nechama is going to be less profound. And that's why the Rambam depicts here in Tarek Beis, Halacha Beis, in terms of how the tshuva process actually unfolds, So the tshuva process unfolds. First, a person has to get away from the chet. Yaza v'chot echeto, yisiranu mimachshavto, yigma v'libo shelo yaseihu od. Then, as a result of putting distance between himself and the chet, the more distance there is, the more changed he is, so then the more he's in a position to really recognize the magnitude of what the chet represented. In Parag Aleph, Halacha Aleph, so the Rambam here is not describing sequentially how the tshuva unfolded, but when a person's articulating it, so he's following the timeline. But when a person articulates it, so he follows the timeline, beginning with, let me own up to what happened in the past, and let me comment on the past, and then towards the future. So the vidui is again isn't intended to recreate the chronology, the unfolding of the tshuva, but rather we follow the timeline. But in terms of the unfolding of the tshuva, in order to have again a very genuine sense of remorse, requires the perspective of distance, not just distance in time, but hopefully distance in terms of a spiritual level between oneself and the chait. Maybe just in conclusion, just one brief comment. We'll also take a look at Halacha Dalet for a moment. One of the haunting questions that I certainly think about every year, and perhaps others do as well. It's a very sobering question, which is that when one begins to gear up for tshuva, for the vidui, for the ashamnus, for the alchait, it's very sobering that the alchait resonate as much this year as they did last year. So if it were because of the Chovos HaLevavos, okay, so that would be encouraging. So the reason that the onus of Beratzon, the Imat HaLev, the Vlidas, the Vitus Fasayan, the reason the Alchets are resonating is, because now this year I appreciate even more the magnitude and the inadequacy which I was owning up to last year. But sometimes, most of the time, the Alchets don't resonate every year because of the Chovos HaLevavos, but resonate every year because one doesn't really feel that he's in that much of a different place than he was last year. So the question is, last year, by Ne'ilah, when a person was saying the Hashamnus, when a person was saying Hashem Hu Elokim, 100% Yoyad Alav Yodea Talumos, a person was 100% sincere. There's no insincerity in a Jew. When a Jew is standing the Ilan Yom Kippur, there's no insincerity. There's no posturing on Yom Kippur. Maybe the other 364 days of the year, the Yetzirah has no is not operative on Yom Kippur, and Chazal say. So how is it that the sincerity notwithstanding, a person often finds himself too much in the same place as he was the previous year? So two possible perspectives. One is the one that we already saw in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, whether or not the tshuva included a yisiranu mimachshavto. Sometimes the tshuva can be with yaza v'chot echeto, the yigma v'libo shelo yaseihu od, but it's not unthinkable. Sometimes it's not, I'm not going to talk during davening anymore. Is it unthinkable? Is it that I'll talk during davening? No, I'm not going to talk anymore in davening, but it's not necessarily that a person shifts to a different paradigm, to a different mindset where it's unthinkable. The other thing which perhaps is missing sometimes in our tshuva, the Rambam writes in Perek Beis Halacha Dalet, "Vidakei tshuva liyos hashav tzoek tomid lifnei Hashem b'chiyuv sachanunim." A person is engaging in constant tefillah. "Va'osa tzoke kifikocho u'misrachek harbe min adov shochotava." That a person takes precautions. a person distances himself from the source of chait. Right? It's much easier to diet. If a person needs to diet, it's much easier to diet if I don't have the cookies and the cake and all the chazurai in the house. It's much easier to diet than if they're there in the cabinet, and every day I expose myself to the same nisoyan as to whether or not I'm going to partake. Nisrachek havi min adov shachata though. So one of the questions for thought in Chodesh Elul certainly is what that translates into practically halacha l'maisa as a person compiles his own personal al-chayt list. So what is the nisrachek havi min adov shachata will translate into? And how do we implement that? Because without it, again, Darkei HaTshuva, excuse me, the Rambam is describing a lifestyle of tshuva, not a moment of tshuva, but a lifestyle of tshuva. And what the Rambam is saying is that to stick, to be successful, it has to translate not into a moment of tshuva, but into a lifestyle of tshuva. And an integral part of that is the Mitzvatei Kadi Min Ador V'Shechot Ador.
Thank you so much.